Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight. I was thinking about Sister Renee when she was talking about her mother, and I was reminded of something I heard about Bob Jones Sr. They had a Founders Day at Bob Jones University, and he had got on up in years and battling the same things, and he couldn't remember things, and so Bob Jones Jr. and then the other son had they were real nervous. But you can't have a Founders Day without the founder if he's still there. And so they said, Daddy said, we want you to say something. They was all nervous. And so big crowd there, large crowd, Bob Jones University. And so they said, well, now, Dad's battling. And they started trying to cover for the daddy. And Bob Jones Sr. walked up to the podium and said, well, it's good to be here today. He said, the boys have asked me to say something. And he said, I don't really know what to say. He said, but I remember when I was 8 or 9 year old boy, he said, I went down to the house of God, the preacher priest. He said, I went down to the altar and got saved by the grace of God. He said, I've never been the same since that day. Kind of staggered off, looked back out, and looked over the crowd, and kind of looked out into nowhere, and kind of had a funny look on his face, and kind of glassy-eyed, walked back up to the pulpit and said, well, it's good to be here today. And the boys have asked me to say something, and I really don't know what to say. He said, but I remember when I was 8 or 9 year old boy, I went down to the house of God, got saved by the grace of God, and I've never been the same since. He did that about 3 or 4 times. He didn't know what his name was. He didn't know who Bob Jones was, but he knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus did something in his life as an 8 or 9 year old boy. Thank God I know what the songwriter meant when he said, I can tell you about the time. And I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me. I guarantee you, Zacchaeus, look, every time he went by the sycamore tree, he said, you see there between limb 3 and limb 4? He said, that's where I got saved by the grace of God. That's when the Lord said, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he came down and received him joyfully. And that's what will happen. When you get saved by the grace of God, there'll be some joy, amen? And he'll make a difference. At your house. He'll make a difference at your house. Amen? All right. I want to go to the book of Leviticus tonight. And I tell you what, I'm sitting back there and it gets a high, and I thought, well, there ain't going to be no preaching tonight. And if there is, we'll just let Brother Ricky preach. Don't you love Brother Gravely? Amen. I appreciate him. And I'll tell you what, I love Brother John and thankful for him. He's my friend. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. Do we have 10 people tonight or 10 churches that would give $500 or send $500? If we got 10 churches to do that right now, we'd have $5,000. If you want to give $500, would you stand? There's 1, 2. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Man, y'all done. Man, I thought we was doing good. I thought we was going to have one of them Brother Sammy Allen offerings. Hey, man, he could get enough money to build a courthouse and do it down at the prison. Amen. All right. We got 2 people right here, so we got $1,000. Anybody else? Anybody else want to give this? Well, Brother Ricky, I was going to get $5,000 right there. There you go. There's 500 more. All right, so we need 7 more. 7 more people to give $500, and that'd be $3,500. That'd put us at $5,000. What I was going to do, Brother Ricky, is get my $5,000 and say, well, I got my 5, then you get 5, and there you go. So we need about $10,000. Anybody else want to give something before I preach tonight? All right, well, you'll have to give it when Brother Gravely is preaching, I guess, okay? Anybody else? Thank you, Brother Tom. Anybody else? All right, so we got 3 people to give $500. Any other church want to get involved in this, okay? Amen. I understand how this goes. All right, the book of Leviticus tonight. The book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 14 and verse number 33. Leviticus 14, 33. And I just want you to mind the Lord tonight. Leviticus 14, 33. And I'll get out of the way here and let God's man come and preach to us and help us tonight. Leviticus chapter 14 and verse number 33. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I just want to thank you, Brother John, for the invitation to come. Great place to stay, and appreciate Brother Jamie being here with me and John. And then I've got Luke and Esther with us tonight. I mean, they come by themselves now. They're all married and all that. And I appreciate them being here. I appreciate that we've got a lot of folks from Concord as well. And I'm thankful for my church. Amen. Not mine, but you know what I mean. They're at Concord. Thankful for them. Leviticus 14, verse 33. Let's read here, beginning in the Word of God. Let's stand. Leviticus chapter number 14 and verse number 33. The Bible said in verse number 33 of the book of Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. All right, I'm glad I didn't have to go much farther than that. Amen. Leviticus 14:33. Here the Lord has dealt with leprosy in an individual. Then he deals with leprosy in a garment, and now he's going to deal with leprosy within a home. And here the Lord claims authority over their homes and how their homes are to be kept in order. Leviticus 14:33. Then the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give you for possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in the house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go in to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house, and he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow straits, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look. And behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place, and they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones. And he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he hath scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house. It is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house, all the while that is it shut up, shall be unclean unto the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. Thank you. You can be seated. I appreciate you standing. Now, in verse number 34 here in the text, it said, when ye come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in the house of the land of your possession. And it said, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest. And so that tells me there that the man of the house was responsible of keeping the leprosy out of the house. He was responsible of noting, hey, there's something wrong in this house. There is leprosy in this house, and it is the father's responsibility to do that. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, said in you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so our children are just like us. They have that inborn tendency to do wrong. They have that disposition that naturally rebels against God and God's word and God's will. And that's why the fathers are to raise the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And what God said here, he said, it's up to daddy to find out if there is sin in the house. Now I want to preach on that tonight a little bit about sin in the house. Here's a great picture on how we need to see if there's any sin in our house and deal with that sin. Because if you do not deal with the sin in your house, the sin in the house will deal with you. We wonder why our churches are in such shape that they're in, because our houses are not like they need to be. Well, I mean, I'm not just talking about brick and mortar. I'm talking about a home, friend, because as the home goes, so will go the church. And I believe sometimes we need to just go to the house. I'm talking about our own homes, and gut some areas and get rid of some things in our house that are hindering the moving of the Spirit of God in the house of God. Some of you are going to take some major reconstruction work in your house to get it like it needs to get. And I have not arrived by any
stretch of the imagination, and I'm sure not the best daddy in the world, sure not the best husband in the world, but I've got a Bible, and I've got the Word of God to lead me and guide me, and I do want to be what God wants me to be. Amen? And so listen, we should not let sin get a foothold in our home. If your weed eat every once in a while at your house, you won't have to bush hog, and you know what I mean by that. And here's what happened. He begins to point out things, and we must watch, and we must be on the lookout, because if you allow sin to get in your home, it will get a foothold, and you'll end up bringing that down to the house of God. And there is no doubt that our homes are in turmoil. There's no doubt that our homes are in bad shape. Our homes are the foundation, and we're seeing our foundations destroyed. Daily we are bombarded with news about transgender and about two husbands and two wives and stuff like that, about being tolerant and being more open-minded about some issues. I'm telling you, you and I who are Bible believers, we need to be closed-minded about marriage. We need to be closed-minded about what a family is. We need to be closed-minded about what the Word of God says about the home. Amen? And listen, he said he gave this man the choice. He said, if there's something just not right, if you're sensitive enough to understand there's something just not right in the house, then you better deal with it. And you know, he just says, well, you know, I'm not convicted by that. No, that's not what he said. He didn't say, well, I'm not convicted by what's going on in my house. There's a lot of people that say, well, Brother Randy, I'm not convicted by that. I tell you what, the Word of God convicts you, and the Word of God says it's wrong. It's wrong. And let me say something. If it was wrong 50 years ago, it's still wrong in 2021. Amen? Amen. I mean, here's what the man says. The man comes to the spiritual authority, and he says, please show me if I've got sin in my house. And this has already been said two or three times today, but I'll say this. I want my preacher, I want the spiritual authority in my life, I want him to get up all in my business. And you see somebody don't want the preacher preaching to him, and you see somebody say, well, that ain't none of your business. What I do in my house, you need to go back and read your Bible again. Amen? God puts a man of God, a spiritual authority in your life to deal what's going on in your life personally. Amen? I mean, listen. He said, I need to go to the spiritual authority. First of all, there's got to be some identification. He said, preacher, would you please, if I can put it this way, Mr. Spiritual Authority, will you please come to my house and will you please tell me if there's anything wrong, if there's sin in my house? I tell you, listen, thank God for preachers today that'll still preach it. If you didn't get Matthew Morgan's message, you need to get that message and listen to what he had to say. I will say something. We live in a day. Hey, thank God for exhortation, and I appreciate that. But I'm going to say something tonight. If there is ever a day where we need to deal with sin, if there's ever a day we need to cry loud and spare not, if there's ever a day that we need to deal with it, it is the day and age in which we live. I wish we did live in 1970 where the move of God was still around. I still believe God can move, and I still believe God can help. But I'm telling you, we need some old-fashioned Bible-believing, sin-telling, devil-to-servant, backbone like a saw-log preacher. I mean, I'm talking about your preacher. I praise God, getting up in the pulpit, not worrying about running nobody off, not worrying about a paycheck, and get up and preach. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about listening. And I can't remember. It all starts running together when you hear good preaching. But I'll say this. Somebody said it. I'm talking about the fact, you know, the preacher wants to grow a crowd. Hey, listen, I'd rather have God than I would a crowd. Somebody said that today. But I'm going to say something right now. I sure am glad I don't go to a church where the preacher gets up and every one of them look like they've been to the ball game. And the preacher's wife gets up running around with a pair of leather skirts on about half a way up her thigh. Amen. Amen. And I'm about that close to calling somebody's name. Amen. And if I didn't think y'all would pass out, I would. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the truth, friend. Amen. Thank God I'm glad I got saved. I went to an old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist church that had a King James Bible, that had a man of God that preached, that didn't apologize for what he said. Amen. Amen. Y'all boys know who I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. I tell you what I do. Hey, some of you boys, I mean, y'all, some of y'all from Concord, thank God for you. Amen. I appreciate you, some of you there at White Graves. I mean, I tell you what you boys at White Graves, I tell you what you need to do. When you go to the house of God on Sunday, you stand up, say amen 50 times. If Brother Will gets up and preaches against everything. I mean, listen, we need some people to get behind the man of God. Don't be so anemic. Don't be so weak neither. I'm telling you, we're so volatile right now, we can't take no preaching. Amen. You say, are you mad? I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at the situation, hey, that our homes are facing today. And the reason we're facing that is because they're not hearing it from the pulpit, and daddies are not standing with the man of God. Amen. I mean, I'm talking about some identification. I've heard people say the preacher ain't got no business. Somebody said it. It may have been you, Brother Will. Somebody. I was talking about the fact, well, you live your life. I live mine. Hey, if I got untold poems all the time, hey, listen, I tell you, you can come up with a good outline. You can come up with a good, decent message. I know people that are lost can come up with a good message. But I'm talking about a message from God, friend. He said, come on into my house, search my house, and if there's any sin in there, preacher, deal with it. Amen. There's got to be some identification. People say, well, you know, that ain't none of your business. Hey, he wanted everybody to know what's in your house is going to contaminate you. That's exactly right. I thought about in the book of Joshua in chapter number 7 and verse number 10. This is when sin got in the camp. And the Bible said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? He said, Joshua, I appreciate you praying. He said, but it ain't time to pray. It's time to fix the problem. He said, Israel hath sinned, and they also have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Do you know why people are falling? And you know why people are so anemic? And you know why every time a little storm will come up, I'm not talking about some major things that's going on inside this building. I mean, we think one of our three cars is tore up. Right in the middle of the tribulation period. I'm talking about, we got people in here facing cancer. We got people in here facing big issues. And I tell you, how in the world could you be like Adam Borden and run up and down the aisles and say God's good and thank the Lord for it? We got people in here that's facing major problems. I tell you why he's got some sick ability. And I tell you why you can raise your hands and thank God when your whole world's falling apart, because you got a preacher. I'm telling you, when the tough times come, the fluff don't do it. The show don't do it. The Las Vegas atmosphere don't do it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, friend, it takes some old time. That's why some of y'all got saved, because the preacher got up, hung you out over hell, told you you was a drunkard and adulterer, and you was going to split hell wide open. You got saved because somebody did that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just telling you. And he said, you go in and you deal with it. And as far as I can tell, they didn't nobody know that, but Achan and whoever was in Achan's house. And he said, that's going on. And he said, Israel sinned. I want to say something tonight. There's got to be some identification. I mean, listen, that's why we need the Lord to use his man to point out the sin in our life, the sin in our house. This sin was right out in the open. You know where it started? It started inside the walls. It started in the hidden places. I tell you, you ain't worth a dose of salt. If you call yourself a Christian, we ought to be able to take your iPhone. I ought to be able to take your phone right now. I'm talking about right now. Get on your phone and look and see what you've been looking at for the last 30 minutes. We ought to be able to look and see what you've been looking at the last 30 days. I mean, listen, a preacher doesn't preach about that. We got so many people right now calls himself right with God, looking at pornography. About 50% of the people in our churches are hooked on pornography, looking at nakedness and ungodliness, and then expect God to move in your church. You expect God to move in your house, looking at that wicked and ungodly, you devil, you. Amen. You need to get right with God, friend. Amen. I'm just telling you. That's why that we come to the house of God and put our minds, put that stuff in our mind and look at it naked as an ungodliness. And I think the reason a lot of preachers ain't preaching against it, because they like looking at it. Amen. They want to look at it. Hey, listen, thank God. Hey, when you go to your choir gets up at your church, hey, watch some of these preachers. I watched them, Brother Townsend. I've watched them. I've watched them sit in camp meetings, and I've watched their eyes follow. I've watched what they looked at. I've watched them look at it. I mean, they're not looking at it, and then they're not looking at it bashful-like. I mean, listen, you say you think that goes on? Hey, listen, it goes on everywhere. Why, hey, listen, you can't even send your child to the mailbox no more. There's so much ungodliness and pornography and nakedness, amen, and I'm not a legalist, I'm a Bible believer. And bless your heart, nakedness is nakedness. Amen. Right. He said, identify it. Preacher pointed out to me. And I tell you what, verse 36 back in the text, I mean, listen, Brother John, I ain't going to lie. I'm just going to preach today. I'm right here and I'll be done. Verse 36 said, then the priest shall command that they empty the house. The priest didn't come out there and say, well, now listen, now. That old sin in there is bad. He didn't go in there and say, well, now, I'd suggest that you go in, and don't you think it'd be good? Won't you be my neighbor? Don't you think it would be really, really good to do that? No. He went in there and commanded to clean the house. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what, preacher, quit making suggestions. Bless Pat, if you're called to preach and God's hand on your life and God sent you there, praise God, you get up, you preach, let the chips where they... Hey, listen, if you'll do some preaching, you'll find out your people will respect you. And they may not all stick and they may not all stay. That's not your responsibility. He said, come on in my house and deal with my sin. Amen. There's got to be some identification and then there's an inspection. Verse 37, he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house, with hollow streaks, greenish or reddish. He said, I want you to go in there, and he said, here, it's going to start out real small, and then it's going to be growing, and going to be growing, and then within those walls, and he said, I'm going to tell you something, of the reason that sin is growing inside that wall is because there's no light in the wall. I know we cut the lights out tonight, but we hid that to deal with the fans. It wasn't the fact we're expecting God to move in the house of God, and the house of God now looks like a VFW or some honky tonk. They call it right. Hey, they moved the pulpit. Thank God. Listen, I tell you, I still believe preaching gets it done. Hey, God, if you've got a puppet ministry tonight, I ain't taking shots at you. I don't even know you're in here. If you've got a balloon making ministry for the kids, that's all right. We got a fall festival. You come on down, and we'll let you make them balloons for the kids. But I'm telling you what the pulpit's for. I'm telling you what it's for. It's for preachers. Amen. It's not putting up some black light somewhere and having some mime ministry. Amen. You say you got a praise team at your house, at your church? Yeah, we got a praise team, and you looking at the leader of it. Amen. I guarantee we got a drama team too. You said you got a drama team at your church? Yeah, you do too if it's a Baptist church. Man, you got a drama team too. The preacher ought to come in. And I'm telling you, listen, a lot of times, it's just going to take some just getting with it. It's just going to, and I don't like, listen, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do is when you're preaching to people you love and you know you're going to plow their tater patch and you know that it's going to affect them. Hey, listen, I tell you, it'll happen. It'll happen. But I have seen it time and time again. Thank God for people that'll just say, preacher, I know I'm not right, but I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm working on it. I'm talking about throw their snuff out on the way to church and hunt it on the way home. But at least, praise God, they're trying to make an effort and trying to do right. I tell you, everybody gets mad and gets all up in a tussle if somebody claimed to be saved for 40 or 50 years and the preacher gets up and says anything about sin, and they get mad and take the little bat and ball somewhere else and go start them a little illegitimate church somewhere. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, that's why we've got so much of that going on now. Somebody gets mad, it's got religion. They probably need to get a good dose of heaven sent Holy Ghost salvation. That better change their life. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about identification. Then some inspection. He says, preacher, come on in here. And after this, the priest would go in and inspect the dwelling. And if the plague was of the type described here in verse 37, oh, I don't like this word, they'd quarantine them. My goodness, quarantine. But who would ever want to hear that word again? But that's what happened. He said, y'all going to have to go into quarantine. Quarantine. It's amazing to me how some people claim to be saved by the grace of God. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, we tried everything at our church. I preached against drive-in church and had it. We had drive-in church. We had live stream church and it was dead. Amen. I mean, listen, and you say what you want to. We've tried everything, and I'm not, whatever it is you're trying to have, but I'm just telling you, friend, we had to get to a place, and we got to get to a place. Hey, listen, we need the house of God. We need each other. We need to be able to come together. We need to be able to get strength from one another. I tell you, when I come to the camp meeting, and when I get around good singing and good preaching like I've been around today and like I was around yesterday, that makes me want to go through another battle. I fight another fight, face another fiery trial. We need each other. Amen. He said, but you're going to have to go in quarantine. And I'll say this tonight, not that Jesus needs our permission, but would you feel comfortable if the Lord come over to your house? How comfortable would you be? I mean, listen, I know my wife's not here, Brother John, you come over to the house when you preach the meeting for us. And we had a good time of fellowship. And, you know, we just live in our house. I mean, it looks like you come in there and there's boots and it's got, you know, I mean, I live on a farm. That's all I can tell you. You can fill in the blank. We got boots and we got shoes laying everywhere. But I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy. Don't let that get back to my wife, honey. I'm sorry. I mean, you keep a good house. But you know what I mean? Amy's just like, listen, don't bring nobody over here. Give me a chance to clean up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, would you open up your house? Would you open up your bed? Would you open up what's going on at your house and say, Lord, look at what I've been looking at. Look what we got over here in the DVD place. Look what we got over here. Look what we've been looking at on YouTube. Look what we've been posting on Facebook. Amen, because he sees it anyhow. Man, then there's got to be some renovation. If the leprosy remained after 7 days, the contaminated stones had to be removed. And the walls scraped. He said, you're going to have to get to work. It's going to take some work to get rid of the sin in your house. He said, you're going to have to get your hands dirty. And you're going to have to get it out. And you're going to have to deal with it. But aren't you glad? Listen, aren't you glad that the Lord even shows his patience in this text? I want you to look at this. God said, it's bad, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to get it right. Verse 41, and he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones. And he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he had taken away the stones, and after he had scraped the house, and after it was plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house, it is unclean. I'm telling you, God is the God of second chances. God is a God of mercy tonight. And I'm telling you, there's been times in my life where God dealt with me about things in my life. Hey, listen, the other night, I know, listen, this may be too honest with you. This may be too honest for you, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry if it's too honest for you. I had to get my family together the other night and say, look, I'm sorry. This is on me. I tell you what happens a lot of times. The ministry have been blamed for so many things that God went in a gazillion miles. Thank you, Brother Will, for preaching that message today about the Spirit. About the Spirit. You can get so wrapped up in the ministry. You can get so wrapped up in things that you listen, you get impatient about things and you get too snappy. And I just got snappy at the house. And I just gathered everybody together and I said, listen, this is on me. I'm sorry. I am the one that's responsible. I am the one that's supposed to be the leader. I am the one that's supposed to be the guide of this house or the head of this house in leadership. This is on me. My bad. I'm sorry. You say, why is that? Because I do not want God to write Ichabod on my house. I don't want God's presence to leave my house. I don't want God's blessings off my house. I don't want God's blessings off my life. I'm just telling you this. Hey, the reason being is because sin ain't no big deal no more. Well, you know, it's a little bit. And I like that song, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. I'm not arrived and all that. But listen, let me say this. You know what the Bible says? My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Don't sin. That's what it says. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But God calls out sin and says, don't sin. And I'm telling you this, here's what happened. He gave them a chance for a renovation. Thank God for that. That God will give us an opportunity to get it right. And here's what happened. I mean, the man of the house couldn't fix it, but somebody else could. And he said, spiritual authority, come to my house and help me right here. And you know what he said? He said, if it gets in the stones, if it gets in the walls, he said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, go out and place some other stones. And go out and make some other walls. And the reason I said that, he didn't say, go make you some brick, which is man-made. He said, go get you some more rocks, which was God-made. He said, if what your foundation that your house is on now ain't working, if it's got sin in it, if there's sin in the walls, if there's wall-to-wall sin in your house, go get some more rocks. Hey, go get some more walls and build it again. Not with man-made material. That's why the do-overs, and listen, I'm all for counseling, and I'm all for that sort of thing, but I'm telling you, there can't nobody fix a house like the Rock of Ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He said, you got to deal with the sin from the foundation up. He said, but go out and get you some more stones and lay the foundation firm. There can't nobody fix your house like Jesus. Amen? I heard about this little boy that he was in the grocery store and he heard two men talking about Jesus. And his mom and dad was in the grocery store and they was in the checkout line. And the little boy was right there near the door. And he heard two men and said, well, I don't believe there was ever a man named Jesus. And I don't believe he could change lives. And I don't believe the man named Jesus was even real. And I just believe he's a figment of somebody's imagination. He said, I don't even think Jesus was a real man that walked on this earth. And I sure don't believe he was God manifest in the flesh. And I sure don't believe he can change nobody's life like I've heard people say that. And about that time, that little boy reached up and grabbed that fella by the coat. He said, sir, I've been hearing what you said. He said, but my mom and daddy's coming. He said, please. Please don't let them hear what you just said. He said, because you might be right and you might be wrong. But all I know is my daddy don't mistreat mama no more because of Jesus. All I know is my mama don't cuss me no more because of Jesus. All I know is daddy ain't coming drunk no more because of Jesus. All I know, sir, is all we do now is go to church because of this man named Jesus. I'm glad the foundation of Christ, thank God, will stand the floods that this world will bring against us. Luke chapter number 6. I ain't got time to fix all this or preach it all out. But verse 46 of Luke 6 said, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. I'm telling you, why don't you get you a place tonight? Why don't you say, listen, I tell you what, these both DVDs STDs is going. You preach today about the occult and devil. You wonder why in the world that your house has so much oppression in it. And you're bringing devils and demons in your house. And you're watching ungodly stuff. And you listen, you girls running around with that old black fingernail polish on, running around with that old paste on your face. Look like you've been dead 4 or 5 days. Praise God, why don't you get rid of something? I ain't against makeup, amen. Some of them need it. Needed, amen. I'll just say that. You may not need enough to sing how firm a foundation, but it ain't gonna hurt you to have a dab on, amen. What is that? It's darkness. It's darkness. You have darkness at your house. You got darkness and oppression at your house. And you wonder why your children are like they are. And you wonder why you feel oppressed all the time. And you wonder why you can't get in the worship service. It's because what you're allowing at your house, what you're doing at your house, it's the sin wall to wall, sin in your house, that's hindering God's blessings at the house of God. Amen? There's some renovation. He gave them an opportunity. Psychology ain't working. Religion's not working. Doing things my own way is not working. But I'm going to say this, and I'm done. Verse 43, there's condemnation. Don't expect a quick fix in your house if you let it go and let it go and let it go. After the rot broke out again, he said, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get it right. I'm going to tell you something, preaching these days that I've heard here, Brother John's convicted me. I'm like, Lord, that's right. Thank you, Lord, for dealing with me. And then the Lord said, okay, what you going to do about it? I mean, listen, some of you, you can't get rid of your movies because your wife would, she would just lose her mind. You can't throw out some of them Jeanette Oak books and some of them other books. I tell you what, that ain't nothing but fantasy. That ain't nothing but fantasy world. And some of you women, you hooked on us as the stomach churns and all my illegitimate children and the young and the worthless and the rest of that stuff. Amen. I mean, listen, you've been here for camp meeting during the day, but you've had your recorder going. You're not going to miss General Horse Puddles. You ain't going to miss that, are you? Amen. You're going to watch it. You're going to watch. And then listen, criticize your husband because he don't look like he walked out of a magazine. Well, let me say this. You may not look like you did at that time either. Amen. Praise God, I'm going to have to quit, Brother John. I'm going to get in trouble. Amen. You can tell my wife ain't here, can't you? Amen. I'm just going to say this tonight. You don't want God to write condemned on your house, do you? You don't want God to put that on your house. Condemned. Get out. No hope. You better deal with the sin in your house. I've had to do it, and I'll continue to do it, because it's a fight. You cannot let... I wish we could. I wish we could just let up. I wish we could just let everything ride. Que sera, sera. Don't rock the boat. Don't say anything. Don't do anything about it. I'm telling you, you as a preacher, as a pastor, you've got a responsibility to warn the unruly. You've got a responsibility to give them what God gives you to keep the sin out of your house. You've let some things go. You've allowed things now to come in your house. And maybe they say, well, I got a cuss box on it and all that kind of stuff. And somebody mentioned something, I think Brother Whittemore, he mentioned something about the television. Everybody just goes all to pieces. Because somebody, hey, you used to hear it preached. Well, ain't he got something else better to say than about the television? No, okay, yeah, I got something. Your phone. Amen. Looking at ungodly stuff, you don't have to bring in hell's box office in your house no more. You got it right on your phone right now. Hey, man, listen, we live in that kind of technology world. I understand. I've got an iPhone and too dumb to run the thing, but I've got one. But I tell you, when you start using tools as toys, we're going to get in trouble. Sin is getting in your house. We better deal with that sin. God's going to deal with us. Thank God for an opportunity tonight to get right with God. So, well, I'm not going to come down there. Somebody's going to think there's something wrong at my house. I tell you, there's something wrong with every one of our houses. I guarantee you. We look close enough. That's why you need the preacher. If your preacher gets up and deals with your sin on Sunday, if you're guilty, say, preacher, thank God for it. Amen.
You preach and deal with the sin in my house. I'm finished.